17. Today, as we come to celebrate with those who have arrived at the milestone, which we call graduation, mind you, this is not the end of the journey. It may be the end, but it is the beginning, and from here on out, life is going to set in. Amen? I read something not long ago about the little boy that asked his daddy. He says, "Daddy, you don't punish me for things I don't do, do you?" He says, "No, sir, I don't." He said, "Well, thank you, because I didn't get my homework." So I hope all y'all have got your homework and got it all turned in, because I remember when Marshall Dixon graduated that I had to set out in that 59 International truck and do a book report before I could graduate that night. I wasn't slow. I just didn't want to do some things. But anyhow, that's neither here nor there either. Where do you go from here? That's the question. Let me say, the world is before you. And what you do is left up to the question in our scripture we're going to look at. The scripture that tells us about life. Because see, in the book of James, it is not a theological book. It is a practical book. When I say practical, it deals with the aspect of life and living. It does not give you any or many theological teachings within it, but it tells you about life and living. And is that not where we are today? Life and living. What is it all about? In the meaning of this, it's the information given to us that we really flesh out what God has said and the Word of God. That's what we need today, is those who will flesh out the Word of God. I heard another story about two boys talking, and one of them says, "You know that Monique says her mom and daddy is French. They lived in Paris, France. Says that's the reason she makes straight A's in French." The other says, "That's nothing." Says, my mom and dad's square and they go around in a circle, but I don't do good in geometry. So I don't know how good you do tonight. But anyhow, in our passage of scripture in James, the fourth chapter, starting in verse 13, if you will stand before the reading of God's word and remain standing for prayer. He says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what ye shall be, what shall be tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or do that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Look back up in verse 14, and there's the question, not only for the graduates, but for each and every one of us. For it says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be in tomorrow," or on tomorrow. Look what it says. "For what is your life?" What is your life? That is one of the most important questions within Scripture. What is your life? Let's pray together. Father, we bow to give you thanks for this day, for the awesome privilege of life that you have afforded us to be a part of your creation. And Lord, we realize with that there comes responsibility, and the responsibility is for us to look to you, to submit ourselves to you, and to learn to trust you, and to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. And I pray, Lord, tonight that you'll help us each one as we look together at your word, that you may speak to us and draw us ever close to your side and to each other, that we may be the people of God that we occupy time and space in this day. And I ask, oh Lord, tonight that you would just honor your word, and Lord, that you'd magnify yourself in our midst tonight. We come to thank you and to praise you and to honor you, but we are also reminded, Lord, of those who are less fortunate, those who are going through the difficult and trying times, the reversals of life, many of them. And we pray, oh God, that you would intervene within the circumstances. You know each one that's on our hearts and our mind, our prayer list. Many were mentioned this morning and in the prayer rooms tonight. There are those family members that we're concerned about. And God, we ask you to just work in the life as only you can. We would also remember those who are the caregivers and those who help in the areas. We pray that you would bless them in a special way. Father, work in their lives as only you can to bring about your redemptive will and purpose. And Father, as we look together in your word tonight, we pray that you would feed us, that we may be more of what you'd want us to be for your glory. We ask this in the strong and powerful and saving name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and for his glory alone. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As we look at the first thing I brought out, the first thing we need to note is the motive of life. The motive of life. You know, when we think about life, people have defined it different ways. But when we think about life and living, what James is talking about here is, what is life? What do you expect out of life? There are many people who live for the physical. In other words, what I can get out of, as Brother Ivy says, on the cannon, most of them with a shotgun, keep you from getting anything. But the thing about it is, they want what they can get out of life. They live for the physical and the physical alone. But I'll assure you, by the authority of God's word, that's not life. That's not life, that's existence. In Matthew 16:20, Jesus said, "For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul?" When we think about what Jesus was saying there, if you gain all the possessions in the world, if you had every cent in the world, what would you have when it comes to the end of life? Some of us make it all of our life for the material things. In other words, what I can accumulate. As I accumulate things. Did you know one of the things in most people's life is what they accumulate and what they have? I think Tim showed me something on the whatever that thing is on your phone. They got all that mess on their phone. But he showed me something on there, showed this hearse going along with the U-Haul behind. He's going to carry it all with him. I don't know. But the thing about it, you can't carry it with you. So many people live for not only the material things, but also they live about the sensuality of things. This material thing didn't start with a song, The Material World, that was popular years ago. Jesus' parable of the ground that brought forth much, he kind of spelled it out there, because this rich farmer says, because my ground has brought forth much, he says, I will pull down my old barns and I will build greater or bigger barns, and I will say to myself, soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But the Lord said, This night thy soul shall be required of thee. And this is one of those persons he called a fool in Scripture, because he was putting his emphasis on the wrong things, the material things. But then there are some people that make it all about sensuality. This was one of the philosophies of the early days, the Epicurean philosophy, and that is, you live for pleasure. What you can get out of life, all the things of life, you get what you can. Paul referred to these as the gods is their belly, and they trample underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ. And Paul, as you're going in that scripture in Titus 1:12, he talks about their doom and demise because they do not understand what life is all about. And we could go into several examples in life today. One of our great golfers of our time, he was one that reached the top and he stayed there a while, but then he began to get involved in certain things and areas, and we see he fell all the way to the bottom. But the thing about it is we need to realize and understand that some make it all about sensuality. Some make it all of life about moral things. In other words, life becomes a given set of rules or regulations, and they live by that code or by that regulation. And this can be it can be religious, or it can be otherwise. It does not have to be in religion, but they usually deny themselves of the physical, of the material, of the sensual. Those fit into many of our quote religions today, because many of our religions is based on don't do this and don't do that, and then do this. And many people fall under the guise of religious commitment because they think that that's what it's all about. But my friend, that's not what it's all about. It's not about rules and regulation. God did not create us for rules, but to have a relationship with him. That's what it's all about, a relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ. To live and obey rules is to do injustice to the one who is the lawgiver. The lawgiver. He gave instructions. He gave them for our benefit, for our good and the good of mankind. And mankind has misused and abused those. So it's not about rules and regulations. It's not about moral things. And even though we know we are a moral individual and we are counted to those, some of those things. But some find the most important thing, and that is the spiritual. the spiritual. That is the most important thing. Life is the creation of and a gift of God. That's what it's all about. And it's spiritual life, when we think about our spiritual life, coming to know the reality of God through His Son Jesus Christ, that is a relationship with Him. It has nothing to do with religion at all. Religion is man's efforts to reach God. Christianity is God reaching down to man in his sinful condition and bringing him out of that kind of condition, putting him in, bringing him into that unique relationship with him. So here we see, for a person to deny the spiritual element is to deny the reality of the one who made him, and also the one that one day the scripture teaches us that we will give an account of ourselves before him. Romans 12:14 talks about that. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after the death, the judgment. So we see that we will stand before him one day. So that is the motive of life. But what is the other thing James talks about here? He talks about the mist of life. Look at it there with me in verse 14. Look what he says. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then what? Vanishes away. Here he refers to the brevity of life. As we look at that, what is he saying? The shortness of life is illustrated as a mist. You've seen a pot boiling or a kettle boiling on the stove, and you see that steam coming out of that kettle, and then all of a sudden it just seemingly like evaporates into the atmosphere. My friend, that's what James drew the parallel to, because he recognized, and I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I realize that life is very, very short. Amen? Can you identify with me on that? So it is like a mist, as James says here. 1 Chronicles 29:15 states it this way: our days are as a shadow, are as a shadow. Let me tell you something. If it is like a shadow, then some of us, and most of us, if we're not looking, look around, we're in the sunset part of our period of our life, are we not? We're in the sunset part if it's a shadow. The psalmist said in Psalm 39:5, it says, speaks of our days, all our days are as a handbreadth. That means a span that we reach out. It's no more than just a span. And so therefore we realize, as what the scripture says, that it is short at the very length of it. Did you know that we as a people, we're obsessed with measures and measurements? Boy, have I been through that this week with my wife. They changed her medicine. And the thing about it is, Tammy and Lisa had just got one of those things, you know, you put a week's supply of the medicine in each, where it goes, morning, mid-morning, or dinner, after dinner, supper, bed, all that. Got it just in the box. Then when he changed all it, then they took her off of this Eloquence and one of the others. Then we had to go back through that, me and her, and sort out what was right and what was wrong. And then they changed her insulin. Before she eats in the morning, she got to take 7 milliliters, or milliliters, whatever it is, of a certain kind. And then you eat, and then in an hour you take your blood and you see what you got to have. If it's okay, if it's above a lower than 150, you don't have to tell you, but if it's above that, then you got to measure out so much that you give to her. Do that there at breakfast, at lunch, at supper, and then give her one at bedtime, then 37 units. We're about measurements. You know, all of life is dealing with measurements. It says that a lightning bolt is measured by 50 milliseconds. That's how far it travels. How far it will travel in that millisecond. Also, they say a ballpoint pen will usually last about 1,000 miles, and I had never stretched one out and seen that. I don't know if that's true, but that's what they tell me, and that's what I read. That's what it says. A ballpoint pen will usually last about 1,000 miles. But they say a wooden pencil will write up to 50,000 words. 50,000 words. That's a many, good many, it's not. And they say a good pair of running shoes, if you buy you a good pair of running shoes, they'll last you from 1,000 to 1,200 miles. Well, brother, I would wish I could run that far. Amen? But what about life? What is James saying here? What about life? The Bible says it's a mist and then it's gone, verse 14. It's gone. gone. So young people, graduates, old folks, we need to understand that wherever in the scope of things we are in life, we need to realize that it is short. Someone has said life is defined this way. It's defined as spills, drills, thrills, bills, ills, pills, and wills. Spills automatically comes with our infancy. Drills comes with our school days. Thrills comes in our youth and our young, as young adults. Bills comes when we get married in adult life. Ills as we grow older. Pills when sickness sends us constantly to the drugstore. Anybody been there lately? And then wills is when we die and the lawyer reads, or attorney reads it to our folks, our children, whoever. So we realize that. But Psalms 90:12 states it very good, I thought. It says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. That is some very, very good teaching. It did not say number our years. And today I am 26,479 days old. I'm ancient, ain't I? 26,479. The poet said it this way. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. That is very true, my friend. That is the only thing that has lasting value. Then we are told in Scripture to weigh our lives on the scales of time and see how short it really is, how short it is. This is not to discourage us, but it's to bring us to a principle that's taught in the Word of God, and that is that we are to really, really use our time wisely. So when we look at the term that's used there in that scripture, it says, apply our hearts to wisdom. The term apply our hearts to wisdom means to spread it out to a correct living or a correct way of life, and don't waste it. So we understand that's what it's all about. But then also the third thing is the master of life, verse 15. And I have a poem by Mr. Henry Twills. And whenever I put that T-W-I-L-L-S in the computer, and it says, underlined, it said it was misspelled. But you know what? That's how it was spelled where I picked it up from. And the time of it is time paces. It says this: when I was a child, I crawled and wept, time crept. When I was a youth, I laughed and talked, and time walked. Then I became a full-grown man, and time ran. Soon I will pass on and time's gone. That's true. Listen, James implied some worship. They carry on business, they work, they have their vocation, all these things. But what is the most important thing? What is the most important? As a graduate and the rest of us, please do not let your career keep you from God and family. Brother Ibe brought that out, talked about that this morning. The most important thing in our life is our relationship with God. That's the most important thing in your life and ever will be in your life. And then family, because God has put them in that order as we come to know and understand what it is to live in a family relationship. And people who do not have family, and those who can't get along with their families. I just talked to a young lady, it's been several weeks ago, and I told her, I says, listen to me. I says, I don't care how much land you possess. I don't care how much money you got. The only thing that's going to matter in life later on is your family and your relationship with God. That's true, my friend. So we need to guide and to guard that. James implies that you may be here today and you may be so involved in your job or your work or whatever it is, and you're missing out and losing the thing that is greatest to you, and that is family and your relationship to God. Listen, I have never, as Brother Ibe pointed out this one, I have never sat by the bedside of anyone who said, I wish I would have spent more time at work or on my job doing work. but I have sat beside those who in tears wept because they did not spend enough time with their family. They did not spend enough time seeking the will and the purpose of God. And let me tell you something, my friend, that is what matters in the end. When we understand all this, we'll come to know the reality of what James was talking about here. He's saying the master of your life is who you bow before each day of your life. Who you bow before each day of your life. Where you stand and how you stand. For all the grads, the moms and dads, please don't let the career keep you from God and family. It would not be good. Bring death and problems and situation. Do you know your life will be measured by the master you serve? Your life will be measured by the master you serve. I like the song on hymn number 495. Well, I've done turned from here. It says, serve the Lord with gladness in our works and way. Come before his presence in our songs of praise. Unto him, our maker, we would pledge anew. Life's supreme devotion and service true. Serve him with gladness, enter his courts with song. To our Creator, true praises belong. Great is his mercy, wonderful is his name. We gladly serve him, his great love proclaim. And that's exactly what we are to do, to serve the Lord. The scripture says, whatsoever thy hand find to do, do it with all your might. Ecclesiastes, the writer of the wisdom material, said for us. And we need to do just that. We need to serve him. But as we think about that song, as we think about one element that stands out of the early church as we close, one of the elements stood out of the early church and the writings that they found of the early church as letters were sent to each other. They remember there were no phones, there were no telegraphs, there were no emails, there were no Twitter, there were no Facebook, and I know that's hard for you to believe, but they were not. But they wrote letters, and many times in the end of those letters, they would write a postscript, and they would put the letters D-V, D-V, Dio Volente, which means God willing. I believe that's what James is saying here, is it not? Look what he says. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. In other words, they understood the significance of depending upon God. Let me interject this. They understood that the action of life depended on the God who acted in life and through life. Do we understand that? Do we realize that as we offer ourselves to him? The question, do we? Listen, George W. Truett, the pastor of First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, for 45 years, said this. He says, the greatest knowledge is to know the will of God. To know the will of God. But the greatest accomplishment is to do the will of God. Of God. Let me tell you something, friend. That's what you'll be judged by, doing the will of God. This may upset us, but we need to realize that if God's calling us as a garbage collector, do it with all your might. It may be cleaning out a toilet. It may be in the hospital room. It may be somewhere else. God is calling you, do it with every fiber of your being. I would say that to our graduates tonight. Whatever God lays on your heart, however you feel in your life and your position in life, what God wants in your life, do it with every fiber of your being for the glory of God. And listen to what he says. What is your life? What is your life? Your life lays before you. Our life still lays before. This is the first day of the rest of your life. Every one of us in here. The first day of the rest of our life. How are we going to respond to God? That's what James is talking about. How are you going to respond to the things of God? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your blessed holy word. We thank you for the many things that you say to us and speak to us and help us to realize that, Lord, that faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. And that means more than just tickling our ears. That means that we we realize in our depths of our soul and our being that you speak to us and you want us to respond to you in faith. God, help us to do that. I do not know the hearts here tonight, but you do. And I pray, oh God, that you will work as only you can, even now in lives, as we pray to you in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord and for his glory. Amen. Hymn of commitment.